Hi, and welcome to Curious Conversations, the podcast where curiosity meets connection. Thanks for joining as we discuss captivating stories and ideas and engage in thought-provoking conversations with experts, enthusiasts, and everyday people. We hope to ignite a curious spirit as we embark on a quest for understanding one curious conversation at a time. So let's jump in this together. Welcome to the world of Curious Conversations. And welcome to Curious Conversations. We are your hosts, Carly and Mandy, and this week we are back with another episode in our series that we call Docu-Obsessed.
That's right. So we watch all the documentaries and dump the crap and bring to you the ones that we can't stop thinking about.
That's right. Well, this was one. It was definitely interesting and never really let up on the surprises the entire hour and a half that it was playing. And I really think that we both kind of ended up with several topics that we knew were curious and worth discussing.
Yeah, absolutely. It brought about a lot of things for me. So the brief overview, though, is that Marcus Lewis and his 18-year-old twin, Alex, were they were really close. They were young. And when, you know, Alex ends up in a motorcycle accident and he's in a coma. And when he comes to, he really only remembers his twin. He's got a relationship with him, no one else.
Yeah. And I thought, gosh, that is strange. I mean, to have zero recollection of the first 18 years of your life, like none of your childhood memories are there. But you know, I don't really have any memories from my childhood either. So I don't suppose that's too unbelievable. But yeah, I did have some questions. You know, I wonder how much time he was in a coma, you know, how much time passed and things like that. But he was wearing a helmet and it popped off and he hit his head enough to take and erase his memories. What about you? I mean, do you have a lot of memories from your childhood?
I do. I'm really good at remembering. And to a flaw, I drive my mom crazy when I was growing up because she'd like, I know what you're going to say. You were wearing that yellow dress and it had the da 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 da. And it's just kind of old for people. But yes, I remember back to 3 on a few things and I have a really good memory and I cling to that a lot. So this really hit a lot of things with me. And I'm thinking even when they talked about the twins, that the memory of him was almost just like a cellular level, like he trusted him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think at, you know, some point it was like he was having to relearn so many things and it really kind of gave you a baseline of what he did not recollect. And it was strange, you know, I don't have a lot of childhood memories, but I remember, I mean, there's a childhood there, you know, I can tell you where I grew up. I'm familiar with the home. So to have all of that, just all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. I can't imagine at all.
Yeah. I'm thinking even if you can't say, you know, those specifics, like I'm talking about, there is some sort of trust in that you have on a subconscious level or whatever, you've got some basis for everything. Even if you're not recalling the specifics, it's, you know what your childhood was, you know who the people in your childhood were.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, there ended up being a lot that came to light throughout the documentary that we're talking about today. But before we dive in, we do want to share with you this week's curious dish. And this is the part of our show where we dish about the most curious thing that we've seen this week. So Mandy, what you got?
Okay, so this is a little different. It was curious to me, but so we watch a lot of old classic TV at our house. I've always liked the old black and white shows. I just, you know, that seems such a contradiction to all these curious things we talk about, to talk about watching these traditional shows with all the morals and the sweet little stories that may or may not be true to life. But anyway, we do watch a lot of that. And so I'm watching Leave It to Beaver. And I've never noticed this before, even though I think I've seen the credits, heard the words a gazillion times. So Joe Connolly pops up, and I know I've seen that name, but I forget the wording when it was coming out or going off, but it indicated to me that they sort of went to him for guidance on the show and the storyline or whatever. Like I said, I forget the verbiage, but I'm like, that sort of sounds like maybe he had a hand in this, or it was a personal story. So all this time, I did not know this, but I looked him up, and sure enough, this is about his time as a child visiting New York in the summer. And it was based on that.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, not at all.
Okay. I didn't even know the show was in New York. And I've watched it a million times.
I have not watched it much. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird to me.
What are some others? Because I'm into all of those older shows too.
Yeah, so I love Lucy. We watch Andy Griffith, I think, every day. Leave It to Beaver came to me later. Like, I didn't see that as a kid for some reason. I saw that as an adult, and it's probably one of the more unrealistic ones. But I just am really comfortable with those characters. And I even, like, I follow that on Facebook. I follow Jerry Mathers. He's still getting around. The beaver is still out there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love all of those shows. But I, too, really didn't get into them until I was an adult. But now, I love Lucy's probably top favorite. But I Dream of Jeannie. You like that one?
Yeah,
I used
to watch that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were some that I used to watch that I don't watch now. And then some of like Andy Griffith, I've seen my entire life, but I used to watch Gilligan's Island too. That was another one I watched in the afternoon. I think it was that back to back with Scooby-Doo came on around that time.
So good. I laid in bed and watched like old cartoons for hours the other night. So yeah, just that nostalgia. Love it.
It's cozy.
It is. It's very cozy.
So what about you?
Well, here's mine for the week. Okay. So I play some video games. You know, I've got kiddos and they're all grown and, you know, a couple of teenagers left. But, you know, they play video games. And so I try to kind of get into it with them. But really, it's turned into they're into the you know, shoot people kind of games. And I don't like to be shot at. I like the cute little farming games, or there's like a wine making simulating game. And all of that boring old people stuff. Those are the games I play. Do you play any games?
Yeah, Miss Pac-Man.
Hey. Okay. Well, I found a little more current game that I might can get into, and I haven't tried it, so I can't speak from experience, but I can tell you, I think I'm really going to like it. And my son showed it to me, but it depends heavily on AI. So, you know, I really like mystery type stuff. I want to solve something, figure something out. My son knows this about me, so he's like, look this up. It's a murder mystery game. Someone's dead in the game and you've got to figure out who, but you can actually interview the characters in the game. Like you can walk up to them and ask them things. And it's not like a drop-down menu where you can only ask them like, you know, one of four questions. You can ask them questions just off the top of your head. So you're kind of questioning everybody in the game.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So that sounds very cool. And then it also sounds something like what I might get addicted to.
Or it might really creep me out. And I'll shut it off and never play it again. Who knows?
Right. Can you tell me something personal about myself?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to ask that question and I'll let you know what it says.
Yeah. That's like the magic eight ball went wild.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But technology, I'm just, you know, just in awe over the whole bit of it.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, we went to two different ends of the world here with the old school Leave It to Beaver. You see what's amazing to me? Oh, that's funny. Yeah, AI is a little bit creepy to me. It's just like, oh, the last 20 years, right? How did we get here? It's very impressive and very alarming at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, I can't imagine. I've had that conversation with my kiddos. You know, I remember hearing my grandparents talking about things that now it just seems almost out of date, but they were just like, oh no, can you believe we're at, you know, well, yeah, things are constantly changing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, so back to our documentary. Yeah, we have this guy and he's trying to remember his childhood through the eyes of his twin brother. And he's literally having to relearn so much. And this is, you know, this was weird. He had to relearn house rules, you know, just how their home functioned, the rooms within the home, which room was his, which room was he allowed in, which room did they not go in? But even, you know, who his friends were, he had a girlfriend. That would be weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he I think he played it off mostly, instead of just saying, I don't know who you are. You know, he played it off and, you know, he was very dependent on childhood photos. And I think that, you know, the brother kind of dug through and there was that automatic, well, you know, photos show the good times. Photos don't show the bad times. And I think the brother even said that in the documentary, you take photos at a wedding. You don't take photos at a funeral. You know, so there were those good memories that he was bringing out from these boxes of photos. And I think the guy ended up taking a lot of photos because he was afraid he would lose those newly formed memories too.
Yeah. So I went through different feelings and watching this, it was just like, you go through one thought process and then something else is brought up and you think about that. And right off the bat, a lot of different things came to my mind. So when he was talking about this and talking about going home with people who are essentially strangers to him, I'm thinking, how do you do it? You know, how do you do it? And what is your mind? If it's blank, what's it thinking? It's kind of, I don't know what that, I can't imagine what that feels like when there's no connection at all. I mean, I'm guessing that's terrifying, but he also probably, I wonder if on some innate level, he thought, well, what they're saying is true, because why would you leave? You're at that age, why would you leave the hospital and go home with people? So I wonder if there's almost like a cellular connection and just intuitively you think, I don't remember it, but okay.
Yeah. You know, I believe his brother said, it was Marcus was the brother. And he said, you know, anything I told him, he just believed me, you know, but I mean, really, what choice did he have? He didn't have anybody else. That was the only person that he connected with. And when he woke up, he said his name, you know, but there's something there with twins. We've talked about twins before.
Yeah. And so he clung to him, really. He basically fed him all of his memories, which then he talks about building memories upon that information he's given, which was really interesting to me, how the brain works, how it fills in those spaces, those empty spaces. And that's why they say it's a little bit, you know, even like people who are in psychotherapy, they don't rely as much on the memories, because we can contort those and make that into something that may not be reality, because it's peppered with movies, it's peppered with other people's stories. And what you have in the end is really, I almost don't want to know just how much it's altered, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I thought about that when he was talking about, you know, we would show him a photo and say, this is from blank. And he just allowed him to fill in his own memory around that photo. And I thought, you know, with me not remembering, I mean, seriously, my earliest memory, I know my sister's in it and we're 8 years apart. So I don't have anything prior to probably being 8 or 10 years old at all. And beyond that, I think a lot of it comes from hearing someone else talk about something or seeing a photograph. But I wonder how much of that is filled in because my mind has filled it in, and how much of it is actual, you know, remembering. It's weird.
Yeah. It is weird. It's, you know, I was thinking about my early memories and all, and it is, like they said, you know, the pictures and all are good memories. And I can look at a picture and I can tell you about something that I think is my memory, but how much of that is what, you know, my parents told me, or that's been passed down. So, you know, what was the true memory? Was somebody upset right before that picture was taken? Was somebody faking the happiness in the picture? Was it not really a vacation somewhere? It was somewhere close. All the little things that this guy was automatically creating. And I'm thinking with the things that he forgot, he also forgot the concept of those memories and how they're formed and how your mind does that, because he didn't ask for the details.
Right. He just took what he was given. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the strangest thing for me, and it'll be off on a little bit of a bunny trail, but I remember when I was little spending the night at my grandparents' house. Now, my grandparents had like the I Love Lucy beds, you know, his and hers. They were twin beds. Yep. And you have the table in between.
Oh, yeah. Safety.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember making a little pallet on the floor in between those two beds. And I remember being scared to death of cricket jumping on me in the night. Oh, a cricket's going to jump on me. But I still would sleep there on the floor, you know, every time I went over, that's where I would sleep, and I would be scared of crickets. And I remember telling that to my papa, you know, at some point as an adult and before he died. And he said, well, I think you did that like once. Well, in my mind, that's where I always slept, you know, but I guess I remember doing that once. And he had no idea what I was talking about with the cricket. He said, we didn't have crickets. And I thought, where did that from? You know, I just put that in there.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, when you say that, that makes me think I've had that same kind of feeling. I can't recall something right now where I thought it was a lot. Like I will tell my mom or something, remember when we lived over at so-and-so and this always happened? And she's like, I don't know. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe her memory is different. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the fact either. Which you could kind of go a little crazy with that. You know, what is truth, right? We could get really deep and with our thoughts here, but what is truth? Because it is changed by everything that makes up who we are. You might have seen something with a cricket at that time.
Yep.
Who knows? You know, maybe you did see the cricket, but nobody else saw the cricket at that time. So you put that together. Who knows?
They should have believed me. There was a cricket somewhere.
That's right. There was a cricket. You just don't have the picture of that cricket.
That's right. Well, you know, eventually the story in our docuseries, it takes a very dark turn. And, you know, we kind of decided that we wouldn't go into the details on that. But I do, you know, go watch it for yourself. It's called Tell Me Who I Am. And it's very good. It's definitely eye-opening. It will prompt you to think through some things, but we're not going to talk about the dark parts rather than to just say there were some very terrible things that he just didn't remember. And instead of dredging it all back up, the brother allowed him to form new memories, and they were centered around very happy times, much lighter times, of what life could have been rather than what life actually was. And I have some thoughts about that, but I want to hear yours.
Okay. I have some thoughts about that too. And I've got to say, though, in my opinion, this guy was pretty brilliant at the age that they were, the way he constructed that. And he did this his intention was to be protective. And I thought about each of the things he was thinking kind of on the fly. His brother comes home. He has no memory. And this is what he just instinctively does to protect his brother. He recreates these memories. I asked myself, what would I have done? And, you know, I'm thinking from a traumatic standpoint and from the things that make us who we are. If we've had really bad things, I don't know that that would be our go-to when somebody is struggling. They have no memory. Why would we add trauma to that? I don't know what I would have done, but I don't think I would have just told all the bad things. I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as far as the brother goes. I don't know that I would have just, you know, brought my brother home and vomited on him all of these terrible things, because they were rough. They were really rough. And that would have been a tough conversation. So someone who has been in a coma, someone that you're trying to protect, and they were twins. But when I look at Marcus, he looks like an older brother. He looks like the caretaker to me very much. And so it seemed like an older brother just trying to do right by his younger brother. That's what it felt like. And I can't help but to think I would do the same. And I think it's subjective too. You know, my sister, I have one sibling. She's 8 years younger than me. So her experiences in our home were very different from mine. You know, if you ask me about my mom, I'm going to tell you she is blank. My dad is blank. And my sister will tell you something totally different because, you know, it's a different, it's subjective. So I wouldn't want to feed my sister anything that wasn't true. So who knows? He didn't know how his brother felt exactly. And I think he tried to do what was best.
Yeah, you know, he said that he didn't outright lie. He just didn't give everything. The other brother, Alex, he just decided to fill in those blanks. He didn't ask the extra questions. I guess he didn't know to ask those questions. And, you know, with his memory never coming back, that made a big difference. But yeah, I have a brother. He's my half brother. He grew up with my dad. Like you said, there's 14 years difference with us. So I grew up with my mom. So my parents were divorced in different households, different experience of my dad. I wouldn't do anything that I thought would hurt him. You know, mm-hmm. I feel very protective. And you talked about Marcus looking and how he seemed and all. I also thought his eyes looked more lived, like he had this depth that he had lived more. He was wiser. He was in the know. He had carried more than the other brother. He had sort of an innocent, childlike look. Even at the same age, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Alex was not appreciative of the way his brother handled it. I don't think that he saw it that way. And if I look at it from the other side, and I will say his memories did not start to come back. He actually found a photo that was very disturbing and telling about some traumatic things that they had probably gone through, and just started to question his brother a little. And, you know, I think that if I was in his shoes, I probably would have been a little upset. And that's only because I've lived through it. Be honest with me. So it's backwards. If I was the old, you know, I say older brother, if I was Marcus, I would have handled it the way that Marcus handled it. But if I was Alex, I probably would be upset that it was handled that way.
Yeah. I didn't know what you were going to say. I kind of thought, you know, cause we just came to this blindly with one another on what our share was going to be, watching it separately and all. And I feel the same because I put myself in his shoes and thought there have been times in my life where I thought, no matter what I have to hear, I need to know the truth because your mind searches. Now his was not searching until he came across that photo, as you say. And then he was scrambling. He was spending all his time trying to figure something out. And I've been there on a smaller level and scale. And that can consume you. And you think, I need that peace, no matter how ugly or bothersome it is. You just need to be in the know. He felt like he was living a lie. He already didn't remember so much stuff. And then he knew that wasn't true. He didn't have anything to ground him.
Yeah. It would be like your world was just pulled out from underneath you. You know, you had a life and forgot it. And then you've built up a life in your mind that you're learning is somewhat false based on a false premise. So your world's falling apart again.
Yeah. So it makes me think, it's funny how things come together. I just recently finished an audiobook, and in this story, it's Stephen King. So, you know, it's out there. It's not based on anything true. But I will say that, you know, he tends to touch on the human aspect. And in this one story, somebody had something traumatic happen to an accident with their child and their wife. Well, they go years. They really want to know how this accident, how it took place. You know, they're just overwhelmed with this ongoing wonder of what happened and what were those last moments like. And they finally get a chance, you know, in the Stephen King world to see this. And they're like, do I want to see it or not? Do I want to see that horrible thing so that, yes, you know it now, but you have to hear or see or experience something very upsetting. And I thought about that then. And I thought about that with this now. If somebody said, hey, I've got something you wanted to know about, it's going to really rip your world apart, but you will have the information then. Do you want it?
That's tough.
It is tough. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Marcus and looking in his eyes, you can see, you know, he looks, his soul looks a little more weary. And I thought, yeah, because he not only lived the life that he lived once, but then he had to go through that again with his brother to make it a reality for him. And you can see there's definitely a tiredness, but a sadness there. It was heartbreaking.
Yes, it was. And I really felt for both of them, completely could see both sides. And I hope to goodness, I don't think I'll ever be in that particular situation, but I hope that I'll never be in the situation where I have to be in control of somebody else's memories. You know, this it's scary territory. And I felt like, you know, Marcus was being very selfless and he jumped into that right off the bat. Like there's no need for him to know this. But then as an adult, when somebody, you know, grows older and older and they're still living with these memories. I mean, they even talk about faking, you know, certain situations in current time. He's faking it for his brother so that he can continue to give him this illusion. And you would feel sort of foolish when you found out that somebody had done that. They took away the truth and they were playing it all out right before your eyes. You would feel duped in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, and I don't know if you caught this, but Marcus even said in recreating that world for him, I was recreating that world for me. He was also trying to set up his own happy memories from something so dark and twisted. Not sure that that's healthy, but that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, that was, that hurt my heart because I thought, you know, we're just all so fragile and the things that happen to us and things we have to deal with, we're all doing our best. But, you know, I could see how you would take that. There's not many situations where you're both having the exact same experience and you're having to be in control of whether you allow that other person to, you know, in theory, have that experience. I mean, what a place to be in, you know. I think at one point Alex says something like, you know, he thinks his brother's been playing God by choosing and, you know, what he has and what he doesn't have. But the truth is, that came about naturally when he lost his memory. So, you know, he didn't have that anyway.
Yeah, it's just you're being told a story. You're not really experiencing those things again. So, you know, for Marcus, he was having to feel it all over again. Alex didn't remember feeling it. He's just being told it. It's, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, the short version is that's messed up. Messed up.
That's it. It was messed up for sure. Yeah.
It was very interesting though. It had my mind thinking of a lot of things and I'll probably still be thinking on it for a few days. Because you start questioning what is truth? What are my memories? You know, you hopefully don't go to that place like, oh gosh, what did I forget?
Right. Yes. Well, you know, I really like these. I like these docu-obsessed because, you and I both like documentaries, and it's something that, you know, we enjoy, we share that. And so we definitely don't want to spoil anything for the listeners out there. Go and watch it. It's again, Tell Me Who I Am is the title. We found it, I believe, on Netflix. It was really good. And we want to kind of hear what you think. What are your thoughts on it out there? You know, would you have handled it the same way if you were the one brother? And would it have upset you if, you know, you were handled the way that the Marcus handled Alex? So we'd like to hear your thoughts on it. And we're going to keep doing this. We're going to bring you some more documentaries and some good stuff. Good stuff and discussion.
Oh, yeah. I think right off the bat, this one makes you take a side, makes you take a position to where you have to start thinking, what would I do? You know, you just find yourself in that automatically. And those kind of things are interesting to us. We like to explore ideas and explore stories. So I think it was a really good fit on this discussion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we thank you for listening, and we will be back in a week.
Well, listen, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, where we post exclusive content, contests, and so much more. And of course, you can keep up with our episodes through Podbean or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And as always, if you have a story that sparks curiosity or you have something that you want us to talk about, just shoot us an email to ourcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.